Amen. As always, God is good. And all the time, God is good. It's good to be able to stand before before you this morning. You know, some who started out on the journey at the same time as we did, they're not here now. And so you ought to be thankful that God has allowed you to still be here. He didn't have to, but he did. On his own, not on your accord, but on his own. This morning, before we get started, let us, as always, go to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, our God and Heavenly Father, how many times, Lord, do you bless us? I just pray that you keep on blessing us. And I know that the blessings are yours to give and ours to receive. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this new day, one unlike we've ever seen before and we shall never see again when it's all said and gone. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray this morning for all of those who are in the audience this morning. I pray that you have given them the blessings of the things that they are in need of, O Heavenly Father. Father, I thank you for blessing me and mine. I just thank you for everything, O Lord. Lord, this is a good day today because we are here in your house. And it is good to be in your house, O Lord. Father, you sent your darling son Jesus down here one day, and he came here to hang, to bleed, and to die on our behalf. Not because he deserved it, not because he was in need of being crucified, but because we were in need of a Savior to pay for our debt. And it was a debt that we could not pay, and we're so thankful, O Lord. Father, I pray for the leaders of this congregation. I pray for their families. Pray for the brothers who have had a part in the services thus far, as well as their family, and for all the families that are represented here today. Father, thank you. I pray for the sick and the shut in, those who are in need, those who are standing in the need of prayer, and I believe that's all of us, O Lord. We all need prayer from time to time, and we all need prayer all the time from you, O Lord. We need your blessings. We need them to continue into our lives. I pray for those who are here, and I pray for those who may be on the way, but most of all, Lord, I'm continuing to pray for those who might be traveling today, whether it be on the highways, the byways, or the waterways. We just pray that you bring them back to us safely and securely. Now, my Heavenly Father, for all of those who are here today, we thank you for their presence, and we ask you to go with us and watch over and keep us as we move from one portion of this service into the next portion. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for Jesus once again, who, because he lived and died, we have an opportunity to live on forever. Thank you for everything, Lord. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, I pray and ask it all. Let everybody say amen. Amen. The scripture was read for your hearing from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, starting around verse number 23. It says, "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord?" This morning I want to talk for a few minutes. God is big enough. When we use the term big enough, it is not a reference about God's physical size. Instead, I speak of his attributes. Attributes like he is all wise, all powerful, all knowing, all merciful, and all eternal. He is the creator, Most importantly, he is our God. So this is the God I want to speak of today. The same God who gave unto us this day. The same God of whom is good to us. The same God who gives us food to eat and water to drink. Let us look at how big he really is. He is big enough to save. He issued an invitation a long time ago in Isaiah 1 and verse number 18 to the people of that era. He said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool." God was offering a chance for a new charge to those people back then. Israel was given a chance to obey and prosper or to stay in defiance of God. The New Testament offers us today a like invitation under grace and truth with Jesus Christ. In Revelation 22 and verse number 17, "And the spirit of the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." The word of God invites us all who would come and take of the water of life freely. This is one of God's greatest offering to mankind. He offers us the chance to be saved. I believe if man could have the power to save others, and I'm glad that he doesn't, but can I just say to you for a moment, can I take your imagination on a trip with me? Can you imagine the problems it would cause? At the front of the line would be the rich and the well-to-do. In the center of the line would be those who could afford the purchase price of an admission. At the end of the line would be those who would beg for an opportunity, and barely a few would be given that chance. This is why God has not left man with this power. I believe that, and if you look at the text for a minute, you'll see what God says in verse number 23. "I am God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off." God stands near at hand to us. He's not a far off God, that not so far away that you can't reach him. God is big enough to work everywhere. Do you recall David's Psalm in 139 between the verses of verse number 3 and 10? If you would notice something in Psalms 139, 3 through 10. Go over there with me if you will. And look at the scripture here. It says, and starting in verse 3, "You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before you, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, and it is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." Now let us take a moment and dissect that and see what the Lord is saying. He's saying, "You know my path. You know when I'm lying down. You know my ways. You, Lord, know every word in my tongue, even before I speak it. You, Lord, know where I've been and where I'm going. Your knowledge is too wonderful for me. How can I get away from you? And not that I want to, or how can I if I did want to? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. So, Lord, just keep holding on to me. who is there in their right mind could ever think they could get away from God. I would like to see that person. Lord, I just want to praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth well. That's verse number 14. God is good, church. All the time and all the time, God is good. I always tell you that, but he is able to work anywhere and everywhere at the same time. He can work in all nations. He can work at your house. He can make a living hell into a place of peace and joy instead of trouble and turmoil. He can also work out down in the church house. When the church isn't going right, he can fix it. Can't he, church? Jesus, our Savior, died that his church might come into being, and yet there are far too many who refuse to accept the concept of the one church that's called out in the Bible. In Romans 16, in verse number 16, the churches of Christ salute you. In Acts 20, in verse number 28, tells us that it was purchased with his own blood. Now, whose blood was it purchased with? The blood of Jesus Christ, none other. So it's not the church of God, it's the church of Christ. This makes it a blood-bought institution, worthy of our respect and worthy of our allegiance and worthy to be attended. And I know some folk get up on Sunday morning and they can think of all kind of places to go rather than coming to church. I would go to church today, but I got something to do. Well, something to do should include coming to church. Something to do should include God in your plan, for he left you in this world another day, and you ought to give him the little respect. And I know for a fact, if you come here, it won't be very long before church is over, because I don't preach that long, and we don't take up all your whole day. So church, you ought to be in church. God is big enough to keep all promises and answer prayer. According to the word of God, a promise was given by the Lord of a child being born to Abraham and Sarah, who were way past the age of childbearing. But God, who does not count numbers as we count numbers, even though Abraham was nearly 100 years old and Sarah was 90, a child was given unto Abraham and Sarah, and his name was Isaac. So God has been in the promise fulfilling business a long time. And yet he has never broken not even one of them. He keeps all promises this morning. If you need to have a promise, just look in the Bible and you can find God's promises. And just stick with God. He has never broken one, and he's big enough to save us. He answered the prayer of Moses and the Israelites, giving them safe passage through the Red Sea. He closed the mouth of some hungry lions, causing Daniel not to be harmed in Daniel chapter 6, causing Daniel to live another day. He caused the earth to shake in Acts 16, and it freed Paul and Silas from the jailhouse that they were being held in. This God is the same one that we have an opportunity to serve today. If you have any rivers that you need to cross, if you have any mountains that you need to climb, any problems that you need to solve, God is big enough to get you through the waters, over the mountains, and solve any trouble that you may have this morning. I tell you, God is all right with me, and he should be all right with you. If the God you serve is fame or money, remember, they are not big enough to save your soul. I like to say money can buy you a Bible, but it can't buy us salvation. Our God is big enough. The God we serve is able to give it to us salvation. He caused the blind man to see. He caused the lame to walk again. He caused the dead man to come out of the grave. Caused the sick woman to be healed just by touching the hem of his garment. I tell you, God is all right, church. This is how big the God we serve is. Is the God you serve big enough? If he's not, you're serving the wrong God. If your God is not a God at hand, and not a God, should be a God at hand, and not a God afar off. Look at the text again in verse number 24 of Jeremiah 23. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not feel the heaven and the earth, says the Lord? In other words, God is everywhere and in all places at the same time. Can you serve? Can you say that your God is big as that God? That is the only God you need in your life. The God who can give us everything, all things, and anything. I tell you something about God. God is all right. As I often say, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But I'll tell you a little secret about God. He can be anywhere, everywhere at the same time. He can be here, he can be there, he can be everywhere at the same time. If you go to the bottom of the sea, David already told you that he is already there. If you go up in the air, he's already there. And you know how I like to tell you about airplanes, how I like to pray for the pilot when I get up there. And when he says I'm going to 35 or 40,000 feet in the air, I'm praying just a little harder that I can get back down on the ground. But I know that there's a God that I serve. He's up there with the plane and he's got it. I just ask him, Lord, keep your hands on the plane. Hold it up in the air until I can get down. I tell you, God is all right this morning, church. If you're not serving the same God, you need to ask yourself this question that was asked in verse 23, where God asked it himself. He said, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? In other words, you can reach me. I'm reachable. I'm not out of reach. I will hear your prayer. I hear all prayers. When you ask God in prayer, God will hear your prayer. Now, I'm not saying he'll answer your prayer, but I said he will hear your prayer. And as I bring this message to a close, I want to ask just one other question this morning. Does the God that you serve have all power in his hand? Or does the God that you serve has limited powers? If the only power that the God you serve has is a few dollars, that's not the right God to serve. If the only God that you are serving does not control the weather, that's not the right God you should be serving. If the only God that you serve cannot give you peace and satisfaction, that's not the God that you serve. You should be serving. I tell you this morning, church, God is all right. He's very well and pleasing and acceptable to us. The God that we serve this morning is a God of all things. He made this earth and he made the heavens. He made the stars. And did he ask you to help him put the stars in the sky? I think not. Did he ask you to help him to wake the sun up to shine this morning? I think not. Did he ask you to, should he tell the moon to shine? I think not. Did he ask you what color the waters should be? I think not. Because he is the God that's big enough to serve all of our needs. He is the God that's not afar off. He's the God that's near. So I ask you this morning, are you serving that God? When you walked in here this morning, did you leave your troubles out at the door? Or did you bring them in with you? And you know what that means if you brought them in with you. And I ask you this morning, Don't look for Satan to be up in here in a red suit. I tell you this often. He may be wearing a blue suit today or a yellow dress today. He may be disguised as a good Christian person today, but he just wants to get into your life. He wants to get next to you. He just wants to influence you to be like him and not be like Jesus. Don't be fooled. There is no substitute for Jesus. And Jesus does not come in a generic version. He is the real thing. And if he's not the real God that you're serving, then you're serving a generic Lord. And that's no good. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you need to serve the real and the true and the just God. He's just enough to look down from heaven and see what's going on with us. Remember I told you if you got a mountain to climb, well, he can see that mountain that you need to get over. If you've got a problem to solve, he can see that problem you need to solve. If you got some water you need to get across, he's there for you there too. He was there for the Israelites when they had to cross the Red Sea. And you know, I sometimes think about that. I think about how them people must have worried Moses crazy. Because they didn't trust him even though he had delivered them from Egypt. Yet, when they got to the Red Sea, they didn't think that the God that Moses served was big enough. But he was big enough. He was big enough to part the Red Sea and to bring them across on, listen to this part, on dry land. Where all that water was, now it was dry. God is all right, church. God is all right this morning. And if you've got some waters you need to get through, you need to let God know about it. He already knows, but he needs you to ask him about it. He needs you to tell him your problems and your troubles. And he can fix them for you. Now, I'm not saying that he will, but I know he can. It's up to you and him whether he will or not. But I know he is able to fix them. He can get you through any trouble spot in your life. He can take you across the murky, muddy waters of the mighty Mississippi as he took the children across the Red Sea. As he took Daniel and closed the mouth of some hungry lion. Now you got to consider that for a moment. A lion is a big cat, right? A huge cat. Big teeth, right? And he's hungry. And you have been thrown in a den with them. And you can't go anywhere because when they put Daniel in the lion's den, they roll a big stone to keep him in there. Not so he could get out, but to keep him in there. And these lions were hungry, I bet. Yes, sir. And guess what? God intervened. And he shut the mouths of those lions. Now that's something right there, church. Now what problems you think that you got that God can't handle? There is no problem that God can't handle. So I say to you this morning, if you're not serving that same big God, you need to let them little gods go and start serving the one and only big God. The God who is near, the God who is at hand, and not the God that's far away. So what do I need to do, preacher? Well, you need to become a member of the Lord's body. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. But if you've already taken that step, and I know many of us have taken that step a long time ago. And some of you don't want to admit how long ago. I understand that too. But nevertheless, if you took that step a long time ago, but somewhere you went awry, you left that that one that you were serving, that you became a part of. And now you need to come back because somewhere you went astray and caused some kind of disruption caused you to kind of turn away from the Lord. Well, now is the right time to turn back to Him. Let whatever it is that's holding you out there or back there, let it go. And come to the Lord. You come by asking the Lord for forgiveness, and then you ask the church, come forward and ask the church to pray for you, that you might be well accepted once again in the Lord's sight. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.